Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Panic a Chat with Oliver Graves. I'm your host. Hello, yes. We're live at the California Theater in Santa Rosa, California, and I am with, I just watched Booty Candy. And I'm with the entire cast of Booty Candy. We started this podcast a little small. I had one, and then I went to a second guest, which it's nice to have a bit of an anchor here. You know how that went. This is going to go very different than it went. I have a whole handful of you, so why don't we just start all the way? We have mics all the way. We'll introduce all of yourselves. You're all actors, right? Correct?
Yes.
Okay. You acted in this play. It wasn't a real life thing. Okay. So yes. let's get started, and we are...
Thank you so much for having us. My name is Tajay Britton, and I played one of the characters, Sutter, in this play, Booty Candy.
Hello, I'm Shanae Howell, and I was Actor 3.
Hi, I'm Lexis Fletcher, and I was Actor 1.
I'm Blue, and I was Actor 4.
And I'm Dana Hunt, and I was Actor 5.
Yo, I'm Lindsay. I'm the stage manager, holding it all down.
And you sort of played yourself at one point.
Yes, I did.
In Booty Candy. So I guess I'll try to explain to people. We have a wonderful audience that just saw. I'm so thankful that you hung out. You're hanging out to watch this podcast. You just saw the play just like I did. But the people at home, these actor numbers, you play multiple parts throughout the production. You change characters. Some of you, you sort of played the Sutter kind of had a sort of through
yes.
line. That Sutter was a repeated character throughout the play. But you were changing and interacting in other ways. Some of you actually even changed characters during a scene. You had to, while doing a phone call, a lot of work. So, okay, there's a lot of you to sort of handle here and everything. Like, I guess the first question, I know the answer is going to be no, was this anyone's first production? Anyone's first time? No first, we are...
It was
all...
my first production at Left Edge.
First production, oh, okay, wonderful. Yes! There, well, you're getting that, yeah, okay. Well, the director was very proud to pop a cherry on that one. So, which... Well, and that's kind of the dialogue that was in Booty Candy. I can really stress, but if you can have the ability to fly out to Santa Rosa while it's still in production, please do so. I'd say you can stay with me, but you might not be able to sleep in my car like I can. But I was very impressed with the fact that it wasn't a straightforward piece of where you're one character. You were doing so many different characters. So was there anyone in this production that when you read the script... and you go, oh my God, how can I do this? Was there anyone that was like overwhelmed? Like, how is this possible to play multiple characters? Oh, okay, right away.
Well, yes and no. So I had prior knowledge of the play, so I kind of knew what I was getting into. But actually, Actor 4 is not supposed to play one of the characters that I play in the show. Actor 4 is not supposed to play Big Shirley. Big Shirley is my spirit animal, so I felt like it was necessary for me to add that on to the character of Actor 4. Which took my characters to 5 characters.
There's someone off mic yelling at us right now, and is this normal for all of you as a director to have
Yes.
We love her for it.
Was it nice to do the show tonight and you had to just run through the whole thing and you didn't get yelled at one time throughout the whole, or were you missing it? Were you like, hey, wait a minute, where's my notes? Where's my...
I mean, the yelling is fun.
Oh, they still got... Okay, well, look, I spoke too soon.
This show ain't mine until tomorrow.
That's
right, babe.
Sorry.
I love you.
So, I know, Blue, we talked before about how you were familiar with doing this. You've been in a production of this work. Was anyone else in the cast in a Booty Candy production before? First time doing Booty Candy? Seeing it? Had you seen it before? Familiar with anyone familiar with it prior to?
No.
So Blue was kind of your anchor in a lot of it. I'm sure Serena, your director, was also your anchor, but
yeah, Blue brought this to Serena.
Blue, oh, you're kind of the catalyst to this, to say, hey, have you thought about doing this one? But you're proud of bringing it. It's work that you're glad you brought to.
I mean, as a black queer man in America, this is my story just as much as it's Robert O'Hara's story, right? So I felt like it was necessary, especially right now, for us to get a little glimpse into what this experience is like.
The thing is, I'm blocking it. Anyone else want to add to that very poignant, emotional, political, like it's, it's hard to top, yeah. That is another thing about the piece. So is, since, I do stand-up comedy, I can design what comes next, when something comes next, when I can have down moments, low moments. So when I come to, see Booty Candy, I wasn't told this is a drama, this is a comedy. I wasn't framed anything. The audience also not framed anything. So were you guys ready? This is the first time you were getting reactions out of people. Were you ready for these, you got a lot of laughs, actually, quite a bit of laughs. Not always. So were there times where you're like, ooh, I wasn't expecting that reaction tonight.
Yes, 100%.
Yes?
There is a scene that is rather serious that we did not expect any laughter in, and I was pleasantly surprised that some audience members found it funny, but it was definitely a shock when we were discussing what got laughs and what didn't.
Was there a scene that you felt would get laughs? Like, this is going to be funny, this is going to be really good, and you're hoping throughout the production that it's going to be like the big, like...
I mean, that scene did get the laughs.
What's the one you were talking about? Let's be specific.
So there's the second scene. Reverend Benson is a very funny character who cracks me up every night, and the audience just got a little taste of that tonight.
Is it fun to not be on stage while something's happening so you can laugh at it off stage and you don't have to worry about breaking?
So difficult not to laugh while he
because is, you will, yeah, if you're in the wings, you'll be heard, right? Yes, yeah.
He's got that bobblehead going back and forth. I can see the shadow from backstage, and I just got to keep a straight face and like not laugh.
So what is also unexpected about that scene? It's already an 11-page monologue. So yeah. So the laughs are great, but also I'm like, I'm still up here, like we're still doing this. So that also it feels good to now feel what that feels like, so that when moving forward in the production that you all are going to come see, fly in, it does feel like a long time, but it feels like a good time.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So there's monologues, there's scenes. Is it you're alone quite a bit? Like, as an actor, is it better to have someone to play off of? Does it feel like a safety net? Does it feel more responsive to have a scene partner, or is it is anyone prefer monologues? Is anyone a monologue?
Oh God,
no. You like being in scenes. You like having scene partners, preferably.
Scene partners are great. As an actor, at least for myself, we play off of energy. So we need that other person there to give us something back. Monologues are good when we have, like, once we do have an audience, because the first some odd weeks of rehearsal, we don't have one.
Right.
So like you're kind of just here and you're saying your lines. But when the audience gets here and they're able to feed off of you and they're able to laugh or not laugh or God forbid cry, then you're just like, great, more. And you just keep going. But when you're in a scene, it's nice because you're also able to help each other out. So if like someone drops something or if we skip something, it's like we're working together as a team, and that's really what like stage acting is about, and just acting in general is like being with your fellow actors and your fellow cast and your crew and figuring out how to get to the next point of the story you're trying to tell.
Exactly. Like, as a stage manager, it's some of my favorite moments observing from the booth is when my actors are on stage and somebody is royally fucked up, and I'm like, all right, and I'm looking at the script, and I'm like, how are they going to get back on track? What's happening? Which page are we going to? What's going on? And also, when I'm an actor on stage, it's like, okay, how are we going to telepathically decide what page we are jumping to and giving our stage manager a heart attack about?
So who's the worst at memorizing their lines? Who in the cast? No, we don't have to. We don't have to do that. That's. But
oh. I mean, everybody was pretty on point. For me, as a stage manager, I was never worried about this production ever, and I've been doing stage managing for.
You've been worried about some productions. There's other ones, not this one, but other ones.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, we might have to send my actors on stage with scripts, and that's just how it's going to have to be.
I wouldn't. Is that the worst thing in the world? Maybe I've done that before. But anyway. I would say as a writer and sometimes actor that I feel like outside of the monologues, this is actually a pretty approachable. Also, outside of the content, I'm so content neutral. I don't, you know, there's a lot of stuff in there that touches in a lot of different areas, but like, I've been living in the Bay Area for such a long time, performing in the Bay Area, that it's not necessarily hitting me in that way where if you're outside of this world and like, hey, wait, whoa, we're getting to places that I didn't think would happen tonight, although I had been warned and then told prior about where this might go. But it seems very approachable as scene actors to be able to keep the back and forth, where it's going to go, where you're kind of at the beginning, middle, and end, so that you're not going to get too lost. Or am I wrong? Was there times where you guys were like, the phone call scene had a lot going on.
Keep the broken phone.
Yeah. Audience love the broken phone. That actually worked for me just fine. Phones do break. That wasn't scripted. That wasn't planned. That wasn't.
It was an artistic choice.
It was
Oliver.
Artistic, yeah.
We wanted it to do that.
Yeah.
The gaff tape.
The gaff, good old gaff tape, yeah. Okay.
How
well,
dare you bite your tongue.
It doesn't taste as good as duct tape, so that's its first flaw, yeah. Oh, we have, oh, we're...
So, like, that scene in particular, it's, not only do you have to lean on each other for the continuation of the scene, the lines and everything, but that scene in particular, the cues that Lindsay has are taken off of us and our interactions. We are not allowed to look at each other, so you really have to balance this sort of, like Lindsay was saying, this telepathy of like, okay, is Shanae ready to turn around and be Lucy right now? I don't know, but I'm gonna pick up the phone. It really, I appreciate that Serena gave us time to bond as a group and understand the chemistry between all of us, because a lot of this show depends on that chemistry to flow. This would be a very, and points are supposed to be uncomfortable, but this would be a completely uncomfortable experience if we didn't like each other, you know? It's such an intimate experience and such a volley back and forth that without that chemistry, we would have been destroyed.
So I have to stay on the phone thing a little bit though, because because I didn't even think of the aspect of your cueing. This I kind of explained to people that didn't see it. It is people on telephones and they're not in the same room, so you're getting the highlight of them speaking to each other, and there's, you know, putting them on hold. And then the lights go off on the person that's now on hold, and you're switching around. So that, you're saying, is all done live. It's a live stage manager cue.
Yes.
That you then, you have to hit, and you're watching the actor. So you really are, I'm glad you're on the stage, because you really are part of the,
yes,
the play.
Yes, I literally zeroed in on Shanae's fingers. And watching her hit the little depressor on her phone because we don't have sound cues for it.
I'm sorry!
It's fine! I like it like that. I'm a hands-on stage manager when it comes to my cues. Don't put anything else in there. It's my show now. Until tomorrow. It's my show tomorrow. But I'm zeroed in on her fingers. I'm zeroed in on her when she's ready to turn around and be Lucy. And, you know, it's in my bones. I've been doing this for a decade. So I'm ready. I even trained Lexis, who is the resident stage manager here at Left Edge now. And she's my little protege.
I love you.
I love you.
Is it traditional for that scene to have the actors switch characters, or would you normally? That is the traditional way to do it. Is you would.
Yes. However, comma. Really, Big Shirley and Adela are supposed to be played by the same person, and Yudari and Lucy are supposed to be played by the same person. So it's really only supposed to be two people on stage going back and forth. So we did alleviate some pressure.
You had three people on stage. Okay, I see.
Three amigo.
So it is a normal thing to have the actors switch. But we had one committed to this. How did you approach, on the moment, switching in a scene from character to character? I mean, does you have a slight costume change in you? Does that help? Does that give you the on off?
Yes, very much so. We need the bonnet. Lisa Bonet. Yeah, it's just a matter of deciding how we're gonna make it different. Lucy's very graphic, so I won't repeat what she said. but I just changed her energy, and I think knowing the bonnet and her energy was gonna be different, that helped me just jump right into the character. But it also helps knowing that the light was gonna be dark, so I can change the bonnet, and I'm a different character now, and then it goes dark again, and then I'm the original character again.
Because throughout the production, all of you are changing as well. So,
yes.
But it's still, I thought it was very, very impressive that of all of the changing, you had to do it the quickest and the fastest.
Yes.
In the show, like right, like between lines almost.
Yes.
You were changing. So that was.
We've tightened it out, but.
I was very impressed. I thought it was very well done. So
Thank you so much.
You clearly really put the effort in. I'm very impressed with it. Yeah.
Can you believe this is like her third or fourth production?
It's my third show ever.
Ever?
Third.
Ever?
She just started like last year. We're so proud.
And now you're just rolling with it. You're getting in stuff left and right. People are like, you know, you're pretty good at this. You should keep doing it.
Thank you. It is a wild ride, but it's great to be surrounded by such amazing talent who answer all my annoying questions and really just support and hold you. And I think if you have a great cast to get you through it, then you're going to be just fine. Love you guys.
We love you.
Take this mic.
Well, I hope we're getting through. I wasn't sure. I was, you know, like, okay, we're gonna do this. We're doing this after production, after you guys have been in rehearsal. So I know you guys are like really tired, and then you still have shows to do Friday, Saturday, correct? You have
yes.
more show, you know, it's
two more, one Friday, one Saturday,
and then following week is what? Like, this isn't just
so
a one weekend.
Following weekend, we have. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, two Saturdays,
and two.
Oh,
wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're tired now, you might be tired. Yeah. This is gonna be a week for you guys. This is gonna be.
But at least it's not a musical.
Right. There's not the exhaustive long work. There's some dancing. Yeah.
A little dancing, but.
Who's the best dancer? Do we want to critique who might be the best dancer?
Is Blue. We're
pointing
Dana's
pointing Blue. He's pointing at Dana. Dana, do you think, what do you take of the compliment? Blue is pointing at you. Blue's still pointing at you.
I thought this was going to be the easiest interview. I wouldn't have to say a word the entire thing.
No, you got pointed at, so...
Blue is pointed at me because I'm sitting next to Blue, and we have so much fun on stage together. And we have a very intimate moment. And, Blue popped my cherry, first guy that I kissed on stage. So he would point at me that I'm the best dancer because that's total bullshit. Blue is the best dancer because Blue taught us the dance and at the end of the show here. And if you watched me closely, because some director put me center stage, I'm the worst dancer of the lot, and I embrace it. Thank you.
Well, I've always heard you should actually always put either the worst or best person in the center of the stage, because people's eyes go across, back and forth, they go left and right, so they will either not notice or totally notice the center stage.
And it's a brilliant move.
That's because, it's just the way people will read. That's bullshit, I just made that up. I just completely made that up.
I was gonna go with you on that.
No, I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking. I'm a comedian, don't listen to me. I don't know about theater. Oh, geez. Do I know how to dance? Are you kidding me?
I was ready to take that journey with you there.
I mean, it sounds true. Sure, let's just go with it. It probably...
Kids watching at home, that's true.
Edit the Wikipedia article right now, so make it that is true. It doesn't... Anything on the internet's true now. Everything's true. Yes.
Everything's true. From here on out, every word I say is true.
Okay, well...
Blue is the best dancer.
That's true.
Facts.
Blue, do you take that compliment? Do you take that well?
My student loans, thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, well, I don't know if I can do my podcast. You did them before, my podcasty questions. There's all these people. I wonder if I could get through them, but we could try to guess what Serena's answers would be instead of each in-person's individual answer, because we might not have the time to get through all of them. So I had asked Blue before on the previous podcast, just kind of questions about favorite things, what you might be, what you like. But since so many of you, I want you to try to think. You guys can just guess. You can just speculate what you think your director's answers might be for these questions. So, what do you think Serena's favorite dinosaur is? I know, like, it's a softball for the first one. Usually, although some people have gotten stumped on dinosaurs. Like, what counts as a dinosaur? Dolphins? Dolphins are still alive, and they're not dinosaurs. They're not dinosaurs at all, so.
Velociraptor. I was gonna say the same thing!
Oh, there we go.
Because. End of story.
Sorry.
Oh.
Next question.
No, okay. And there's a consensus up here, so it feels like we're all kind of agree with.
Do you have a different answer, Tajay?
No, I don't.
You're entitled to your wrong answer.
Also, we might go adjacent. Utah Raptor Deinonychus is very similar. Okay.
Whoa. I mean, I can pick an argument for
another. What Dana have?
From here on out, everything I say is facts.
Well,
Serena's dinosaur is a stegosaurus. Absolutely.
I'm hearing no's up here.
See, that was my first thought, and I immediately rolled it out. Yeah, and it was like, no. But
Serena walks around here with a strut of confidence. That's right. Strut of confidence. Just like a stegosaurus. And if you cross a stegosaurus, that ass can come around and just boom!
This is.
Look at that! That's a look of facts right there. That is facts. Thank you. Yeah, I yield my time.
We're gonna move on, but I hear you. I see you. Thank you, Dana, for your contributing too. So this one, it's specific because it's me. What do you think Serena's favorite Pokemon is? Or we can go with
Lopunny.
What was that?
Lopunny.
Oh, the
Titties.
Bunny. Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Evolved from Bunnery. It's very Playboy esque.
If it got titties, it's her favorite.
Pokemon
There is
this girl.
Yes.
That's the one.
That's
Next question.
It looks like something out of a rejected Zootopia artist rendition. Disney was like, that's too sexy of a rabbit. We can't put that in our movie.
Girl.
And then Pokemon's like, we'll put it in our children's video game. And it is.
No, not Jinx.
Jinx is a separate one. You did say Jinx on when you are in your episode. That was your favorite blue. I remember.
This is
That's not the one they attributed
yeah.
to you.
No, not that one.
That is a different Pokemon.
Audience, I need you to know that she has gone through like 16 different emotions right now. Yeah.
Yeah, not that one.
That's not the one that was just said.
Show her low
the
bunny,
one
though.
That
Show
looks
her.
Like a Playboy bunny.
Show her the bunny one.
It was the L-O-P lop bunny? Like, I think it's just L-O-P bunny.
Here's a very important distinction, though. And Serena would be a mega low bunny because she has that fight in her. And mega low bunny is a fighting type.
It's a stronger form. This is how nerdy actors are. I know exactly what you're talking about. You're nerdy for saying it. I'm nerdy for getting it. Like, we're just...
You had a really good Pokemon joke here on Halloween. I was there for it.
Oh, yes, I did some Pokemon jokes here.
It was really good, and I liked it.
I was telling people to get Electabuzz, get just Porygon, yeah.
I liked that.
Yeah, I ripped off...
here, and I'm the only one that got it in my group.
I think that's how it was, as I did all these Pokemon jokes, and I think like each group had like one person that was like, I understand what's being said, and then just 60% of people were like, what is happening right
now? That's how you know the joke is good.
Why does this goth person have a big R on the shirt? Like, what does this stand for? Like, is adultery now start with an R? Like, is this the red letter? Okay, we had other questions. We're still running out of time. We're getting off of Pokemon now. Don't worry. We're getting off of Pokemon. I've already kind of forgotten my other questions. If you were a wizard and you could control a power, so what power elements, power, do you think Serena would control? Like what? It could be like earth,
telekinesis.
Fire. Just like like psychic powers. Ooh, like telekinesis.
Yeah, so she wouldn't have to move nothing.
See, I got to build off that teleportation, so she wouldn't have to move herself.
Ooh, okay.
She could move herself.
I have a counter argument.
Counter, okay.
If Serena could control one thing, she would control time, so that she can get some fucking sleep and not have to deal with this shit. Or all these other motherfuckers around here, so she'd stop time. I use my time.
Yeah, that's the thing you never see in time travel movies. Like Marty McFly doesn't just like travel back in time 8 hours. Like I'm getting a nap, you know? Like, okay, that wasn't on mic. But anyway,
expand.
So, right, superpower, right. That's the other one.
I think she already has the superpower, but I feel like this would be reinforced and used at the drop of a dime, the power to access the astral state.
Ooh, okay. Being able to just be in all these, but everywhere.
Everything, everywhere
all at once, yes. And then the last one is if Serena was a supervillain, where would her lair? Where would her lair be?
We're already in her lair.
California.
Be at the California.
We're here. This is it.
This is the secret lair.
Yeah.
Because that's where you can find. That's where you can find Serena. And you can find the cast of Booty Candy. I hope we can get the word out to everyone to come see the show. You guys did such a great job. Yes, you can applaud.
Thank y'all for being here. You were a great first audience.
Blue, I'm sorry. We didn't get that on mic. Could you get a microphone and say that again?
Yeah, you're good at this. That was a great wrap-up. That was
okay.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, all right.
Yeah. Give the man a podcast.
That we wanted to get you guys been hanging out. Thank you to the audience that's hanging out at the California Theater. I've been Oliver Graves. This has been the cast of Bitty Candy. Thank you so much to all of you in Santa Rosa for coming and hanging out. And we will catch you next time. And that's it. We're cut.